think, you know, the way he carries his pads, you know, we're here and, you know, sometimes a lot gets put into height, weight, speed, 40, you know, a lot of times it's hard to measure, you know, what's behind that left nipple and between your ears.
Strangest thing just happened. I may need to have some sort of medical check because I'm almost sure I heard, and I'm sure none of you heard, Coach Fox say, we got to find out what's behind that left nipple? Definitely. So is that a reference to his heart?
I believe so, Steve, yes.
Seems like he could have just said his heart. I don't know.
Right.
Here's Adam Hogue. How's your left nipple?
It's looking pretty good today.
Congratulations.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though, that actually makes more sense to me than all this talk this morning about hand size, which has caused a huge controversy this morning here in Indianapolis because Jared Goff, the top quarterback prospect, God forbid, only has 9-inch hands. We should all freak out about it.
Yeah, I think they do need to come up with more esoteric statistics and analytics out of the combine. They don't have enough now.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
I think the smart teams use this week to talk to the players in their interviews, and which they all do, but really focus on that more, and then the medical aspect of it too, which is huge because they get the team doctors all get to evaluate these kids. The rest of it is really a lot of nonsense, in my opinion.
Does the NFL make money off this thing?
I don't think so because although I think it's only a matter of time before they open up the stadium, start selling tickets.
Because right now you can't get in unless you're a team rep, right?
Yeah.
Or the media.
But even the media, there's only a few portions that we're actually even invited to see, and it's only like a certain amount of reporters that they let in, and that's really silly to me because the entire thing is on television. It's on the NFL Network all weekend long.
Yeah, it seems counterproductive, to say the least. Kevin, say hi to our friend Adam Hogue.
Hi, Adam Hogue. How are you?
I am good, Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing well. Left nipple's doing great over here.
Didn't ask.
Good.
Sorry, Steve. You mentioned the medical test and the medical exam, and that's really what the first few days are all about there. And Ryan Pace, Bears general manager Ryan Pace, made a comment yesterday about that. And I agree with the first half of this statement. I'll play the clip here. With the second half, I couldn't believe what I was hearing, and I'll let you know why after I play this.
First of all, the medical tests at the combine are significant, and that's huge. And we have to determine, hey, if this guy's going to be an elite special player, but it means that he's going to miss a little time early on, then as a club, you got to make that decision. You know, I think you saw it last year with Gurley. You know, sometimes those decisions are worth it.
And I don't know if I'm looking too much into that, but when he says you can essentially overlook an injury or any sort of concern about a player's health because you think on whatever it may be that the player's going to be good down the road, it seemed to me as he was almost defending his pick last year of Kevin White using the seventh pick. He doesn't even play.
I agree with that completely.
Down in the season. I mean, really? You're going to overlook certain health concerns and draft a player based on your evaluations and your hunch that he's going to be someday an elite player?
Yeah, and it's sort of a tough situation and a case-by-case basis, I think, because, you know, the thing about Kevin White was this time last year, he was perfectly healthy.
Right.
I mean, he came to the combine, had no problems. He blew up the combine. He was one of the most impressive guys here. So, and that was a big reason why he got drafted, where he got drafted at number 7 overall. His injuries all came after the Bears drafted him. Now, that answer from Ryan Pace came from a question about Jalen Smith, the linebacker from Notre Dame, who – before he got hurt in the Fiesta Bowl, may very well have been the best prospect in this entire draft. Now he's got an ACL and an LCL, and the reason an LCL is scary is because that can possibly involve nerve damage and hamper his entire career going forward. And that's why for these medical checks this week in Indy, they're huge for guys like that because not only are they evaluating how bad that specific knee injury is, but also the long-term prognosis. So I think what Ryan Pace is saying is if the doctors come out of that and say, look, he might not be ready to go week one, but long-term, that knee should be fine. There shouldn't be any problems. And then if the scouts still believe, okay, if that knee's going to be fine, then he's going to be a future Hall of Famer, well, then it's still worth drafting him. But I think it's a case-by-case basis. And I also think he's got to be very careful this year, because after what happened with Kevin White last year, it's going to be a tough sell to the fan base to draft a guy who's not going to be ready to go week one.
Andre had a question.
No, this is a stupid question.
No, it's not a stupid question. That's a question.
Why do they call it the Combine?
That's a good question. I don't even know.
Oh. I don't know it either.
I was asking Steve then. He said, I just told him I don't want to sound like a big idiot.
I was wondering that, too. I thought we were on a farm or something.
Is it because it's a test of a combination of skills?
It must be.
All right.
I'm sorry. Okay. I don't have a good answer for you there.
And you thought that was a stupid question.
All
you
right,
just stumped
good.
Hogue.
At least I...
At Adam Hogue on social media, ADAMHOGE. What are you writing about? The Combine, I'm thinking?
Yes, the Combine. But really, yesterday was more about what's going on with the Bears, because we talked to both Ryan Pace and John Fox. By the way, Andrea, I will find out that answer, and I will tweet out the answer by the end of the day
cool.
for you, okay?
I'll retweet it. Awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, next time you think you have a stupid question, just do what I do. Just shoot it out of your mouth as fast as you possibly can. Okay. Adam Hogue is the guest. Adam Hogue is our Bears insider and live at the NFL Combine. Turns out Mary was partially right. We've done some research. And what happens is at the end of the Combine, Andrea, the linemen are asked to move farm equipment off the field, and some of the speedy wideouts and things are asked to race a tractor.
Oh.
So it has combine-type events. Is that right, Adam? I'm not making that up, am I?
Yeah, it's weird. I actually found that same information during the break.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So who is our franchise-tagged player?
It's going to be Alshon Jeffery, unless they can work out a deal before Tuesday. The way this works is there's a 3 o'clock deadline on Tuesday that you have to either apply the franchise tag or not apply the franchise tag. And so they're negotiating right now, the Bears and Alshon Jeffery's agent, Eugene Parker. They're trying to get a deal done right now. And if they don't by Tuesday, then he's going to get tagged, which means he is going to be a Bear in 2016. And it puts him in a spot where he either – it extends the window to negotiate until July 15th. And if they don't come to a long-term deal by July 15th, then he'll play under a one-year deal for 2016. The bottom line is Alshon Jeffery is going to be a Bear in 2016, barring some crazy scenario where the Bears tag him and trade him. Or if we want to get really complicated, there is something called a non-exclusive tag where another team could come in and offer him a contract. And the Bears could let him go in that situation, and they would get 2 first-round picks in return. A team giving up 2 first-round picks
very unlikely.
Jeffery, probably not going to happen. So Alshon's probably going to be a Bear in 2016.
And because we don't know what his physical strength is going forward, what does Hamp call him, a China doll? Hamp has various names for him. Because we don't know how physically durable he is, wouldn't a one-year deal make sense?
I have no problem with him playing under a one-year contract. I talked to somebody yesterday whose opinion I respect very much in the league, and he said I would be very careful about paying Alshon Jeffery a ton of money over 4 or 5 years. I think there's legitimate questions, not just on the outside but on the inside in the NFL about his willingness to play through injuries last year. Now, we also need to point out that he was healthy the 2 years before that. He played in all 16 games in those 2 seasons. But last year, it wasn't just that he only played in 9 games. It was that there were probably 2 or 3 games where there's a lot of other players in the NFL that would have gotten out there on the field and
right.
played through those injuries. So I think that's where this gets a little bit murky. And if I think the Bears want to sign him to a long-term deal, but if worse comes to worse and he's playing under a one-year contract for next year, that's fine, because at least you get to see him out there on the field next to Kevin White and get an idea of what the offense will look like with those two guys in there at the same time.
One other thing related to Hamp's favorite position, kicker. Robbie Gould had some issues, got strong, got good again, had some issues, got good again. Any concerns in that area?
I think those concerns were mostly overblown. People forget that he started the season by making 17 straight field goals. So it's not like he had a horrendous season. Now, he missed a couple big kicks in big games, and quite frankly, it could have swung the Bears' entire season. I mean, you talk to these guys, they really believe that while they finished 6-10, that they were a few plays away from being 9-7. And actually, when you look at it, that's actually a fair way to look at some of those games. And two of those kicks came down to Robbie Gould. So I understand it. Now, he's in the third year of a four-year contract. He's making a lot of money for a kicker. And theoretically, you could save some money by cutting him. I just think you need to be careful about that because he has been one of the best kickers in the league throughout his career, among the most accurate of all time. And that just, to me, adds another piece of the puzzle that you got to go out and figure out if you just let Robbie Gould walk away. So I don't really think that makes sense.
I would also argue that you know when a kicker's done because it ends immediately. It's not a spotty miss here or there, even if they're crucial misses. It's a guy that suddenly just can't get it done.
Yeah, and he was still making some long field goals last year. So it's not like he can't kick the ball far anymore. Or he has some chronic injuries that's holding him back. He's 34 years old, which for a kicker is not that old. It's not like his body's getting pounded on every single play.
Right.
34 years old as a kicker is fine.
By the way, that's Ham's favorite part about kickers, that they don't get pounded on every play. Closing thoughts from Kevin. Anything else you want for Mr. Hogue?
Real quickly, Adam, the latest on Martellus Bennett, who the Bears seemed last offseason couldn't ship him out of town soon enough.
Yeah, I would I thought the way they handled Martellus Bennett yesterday was very interesting. They had the company line ready. He is under contract. And that was pretty much all they said about that. And John Fox said, oh, well, we don't go talking about guys that are under contract right now. And Ryan Pace kind of said the same thing in terms of, well, we have other priorities right now, guys that are coming out of contract. But then when Kyle Long's name came up, who's under contract, they talked about him forever, right? So Martellus Bennett is not in a good spot right now with the Bears. I think there's a very good chance he is not with the Bears next season. If you compare the way the Bears addressed Martellus Bennett yesterday at the Combine, it was very similar to how they addressed Brandon Marshall last year at the Combine.
Right.
Brandon Marshall was traded. Martellus Bennett, I think, eventually will be. I don't think it's as bad of a situation. I don't think it's a situation where they feel like he absolutely needs to be removed from that locker room to make the team better. I don't think it's that bad, but I don't think that he fits this idea of what Ryan Pace and John Fox wants in that locker room. And so I ultimately, while it might not happen as quickly as Brandon Marshall's trade last year, which if I remember, I was in the middle of March, like right around when the free agency started. I think the market for Martellus Bennett is going to be a little bit after that, maybe in the April or even May.
It's Adam Hogue. Where do we find the blog?
WGNradio.com/Bears. And we also recorded a new episode of our Bears podcast, Intentional Grounding, right here in Indianapolis last night. So there's plenty of information to chew on in the podcast as well.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.